What up, though, everybody, and welcome to the Pop Culture 223 Podcast, your go-to podcast for entertainment, firearms, training, and education. Let's dive into the latest trends, explore firearm topics, and gain valuable training insight. Join us for a dynamic blend of entertainment and expertise. Let's get it popping. What up, though, everybody? We back with another episode of the Pop Culture 223 Podcast. This is season 3, episode, what, we said 6?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we messed that up. Oh, well, just look at it. Just watch the thumbnail. Hey, today we got a good one. It's called The Real Shooter. My homeboy. Say your name.
DeLorean Davis Jones.
DeLorean Davis Jones, a.k.a. McFly. Everybody on IG, follow him. He on there, McFly.
Yes, sir.
I met him, I don't know, 2 years ago or some, or through Instagram. We was kicking a little bit, but we got a good one today.
It's funny. I think legit all of us have met through Instagram.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's another good thing about social media.
Right.
You know, just you don't know who you know. I'm like, oh, I follow you. What's your name? I'm Heavy. Oh, yeah, I don't have no name. I don't have no real name. My name is Heavy now.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
But today's affiliate is Firearm Leaders Protection. If you protect yourself, they will protect you. And once we get into the show a little bit more, you're going to wonder why you should have it.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, that's it. The people at Firearm Legal Protection, good people, man. Like I said, if you carry a firearm, you need some legal protection for sure.
100%.
Another affiliate of us, and it's for all the posers, shooters and posers, all that good stuff, or shooters not posers. Look, Axe Matches, man. American Confederation of Tactical Shooters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a multi-two gun match every second Saturday of the year. I mean, every second Saturday of the month, man. When I'm telling you, it's big boy rules. You're running and gunning and doing some fun stuff, man.
Yes, sir.
I like to, when I see people, especially like McFly, trying to invite him out. Barry been out there a couple of times, man, and it's some fun time. So if you into competition shooting, you into running your rifles, you like IDPA, USPSA, but you want to run your rifles like that, come out to an Axe Match, man. You'll have some fun. Once you get hooked, it'll be over with.
Right.
And you want to go out there all the time.
Because after the last conversation I had, it's on the calendar now for May. I'm putting it in there.
For sure.
Gotta make it.
Right. We got a. How many calendars you got? You got your own personal.
Yeah, I got my personal.
And you got your family. But the personal don't. The family trumped the personal. So yeah. It's not really personal, might as well not even be there.
Oh, yeah, I'm putting it on the family calendar so my wife knows, like, hey, this is what he's doing.
This is what he's supposed to be doing.
Right.
But a little bit of background on McFly, I'm going to let him get into it. He's a videographer. And he's / a civilian operator. He's into the urban action like us.
Oh, yeah. Urban action. I like that.
So, look, if you like what we're doing, man, you like what's going on, please hit that like and subscribe button. We need all the followers, all the love we can get. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. Like I said, game recognize game. We recognize you. So, please recognize us. That's about it. That's for the introductions. So, McFly, tell us a little bit about yourself, my brother.
Oh man, where do I start?
Come on, McFly.
Conception. Baby yeah. Jesus came down.
I came in to the world.
If y'all know where that's from.
And it's church, it's Sunday, it's church. Amen. Amen.
Right.
So 36 years old, DeLorean Davis Jones. But obviously you can find me on Instagram, McFly. Let me see here. I own a media marketing company. So as you can tell by my content, it is a little bit up there. the scale is a little higher.
That's what's up.
But that's just because of the tools that I've been able to collect over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But we do within my business about 60% weddings, a lot of like small business product development, a lot of content creation for businesses as we're now shifting into this new world of very, I don't want to say virtual, but like video everything. You need to have that video support. So that's pretty much what I've been doing nonstop for the last 15 years. It's been a journey. It started out with music. So if everybody's familiar with Neo, Yep. I started touring with him after I was done with college, 3.5 years in New York, shot other hip hop artists that were at Def Jam. So Rick Ross, French Montana, Wiz Khalifa, Kendrick Lamar, Waka Flocka.
Okay, running down the list.
It was an insane time in life.
Okay.
That's what's so up. How old were you then?
I think I was like 23, 24.
Okay.
Okay, so give us a non-incriminating situation. You're like, man.
Man, to that made me like leave, like transition out.
Okay. Both.
Okay, so
or just anything like you said that it was like, not incriminating, okay. But hey, that was a crazy little time. Yeah. A crazy story.
Leave Bad Boy out of it, and don't tell nothing about Bad Boy.
No Diddy.
He signed the NDA.
All right, so we're in Spain. We're working on this project with Malibu Rum. So Malibu Rum's owner actually owns, I want to say, part of Jack Daniels as well. So
really?
they made like this new combination of like rum and whiskey.
Mm.
And like Neo was going to be the head of this new kind of campaign. So we're out there for 7 days shooting this crazy ass like commercial.
Mm.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. So one day they told us like not to go off too much on our own because we're high profile. Each single person had a bodyguard. We couldn't walk anywhere because people just mopping us, right?
Damn.
So we're at the club one day. You know, I did what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But we all left at different
there
times.
There I was.
You know, so like
in the club.
I held it down. The manager, like the owner of Malibu Rum was like, okay, I fucks with you.
Right.
I basically, so my car, it was me, Neo in my car because he stayed. And then we had a little party. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back to the hotel with us. Had an insane night.
Okay, slow down.
But the craziest part, though, was in the morning when we were doing roll call before heading out to the actual shooting location, the touring manager shows up back to the hotel butt naked.
Really?
Butt naked. Got robbed of his clothes, shoes, passport, everything. You know.
Wow.
I had a partner in
Spain. Damn. that's a good one.
I ain't going to say his name.
It was great.
Because, you know, I got love for my dude, but he had a situation where he got robbed for his Rolex. Like one guy was coming at another guy would talk. It was, he said they did it so smooth, he didn't realize it was gone.
Yeah.
I said, that's for real? Like,
oh, they took it up. It wasn't like, give me your shit. They
it was all like, it's on my wrist?
Yeah.
Just, I guess somehow, just whoop, whoop. And the boy was like, beep, beep.
Yeah, the motion. They could have bumped him. Mm-hmm. Another person during the
and
bump.
I was just like, I seen that on Born. I didn't think that shit was real.
Oh, yeah, dog. No, you got some pickpockets. Like, we was talking about with Chris. Yeah, the New York pickpockets, dog. Woo-wee. Yeah.
Or but, even if you really travel across seas.
I'm about to say, yeah, I can believe that.
An American is easy to spot, you know? Like, we wear different clothes. Yeah. Like, and you're just, again, you're high profile as well. So they're sending you a bunch of stuff. Oh, you want some more booze? You want some more A, B, C, D? And like, you're just completely impaired and somebody bumps into you in easy spot.
So how was that lifestyle? Do they treat you like, you know, because you hear about artists and with, you know, people they just talk to just any all kind of way. Did they treat you with respect?
Well, so the reason why I left was because of like that reason, the artist gets a lot of respect because the artist is the driving force behind everybody else's funds. Everybody else's pockets are attached to this individual.
Right.
So with that comes a lot of like, yes, sirism. You know, here you go, whatever you need. But I found myself at a Black Expo event in Florida, in Miami. My camera had ran out of battery, but I still had my light. And Anthony Anderson was there. His cameraman's camera was still working, but their light shut off.
Mm.
And then we're in backstage, and he's like, hey, yo, cameraman, cut your light on, man. Neo, what's up with your boy? Cut your light on. And I'm just like, bro, like, I have a name. Like, I get who you are. Like, I'm totally respectful of you and as an individual. But, like, you know, at a certain point, you got to relate to me as a man, you know, a young man. And, like, that for me was it. You know, they still owed a little bit of money, you know, like, they'll be like, oh, I know we owe you $700, $900, but do you want a ticket to Australia? You want to go shoot? And it's like, hell yeah, I want to go to Australia. But y'all going to do the same thing to me where y'all owe me money.
Right.
I'm paying New York bills, which ain't Michigan bills.
Michigan bills, you know.
And then I was just like, I can't do that shit no more. So I left, and I'm sure someone else was right there to jump into my spot because that artist is such a big driving force, bro. Like, I've seen them like overcharge on studio time because they're working on an album. Everybody's supposed to get an OT pay, a higher cut on their check. And then it's just the actual owner of Compound Entertainment, who was underneath Def Jam, like, was just, funneling the money. You know, like, I'll take that check. You know, as long as Neo get paid, it's all good.
So the music business, video, all that, what they say it is, how cutthroat and you got.
Oh, yeah, dog, it's cutthroat as hell.
It's bad, man. And, like, I've seen people who, again, Compound was, they signed Neo originally, and then Def Jam picked up Neo as an artist, but he's still attached to a contract. So what they were doing down in Atlanta, they bought a bunch of apartment buildings, they bought a bunch of studios, and basically when new artists were trying to get established because they have that connection, they signed them. And now because you're a signed artist, you need to be under our control so that we move you into one of our apartments. And then you're recording in our studio, and then we're putting in all the marketing and the advertisement to push you, to get you to Def Jam. So by the time you get there, bro, you can't even get out.
So you got a college debt already.
So I'm going to break it down to you for everybody else. And, like, I don't want to say layman's terms because that was very broke down, but for, like, the heads that be like, man, I don't get – it's the Suge Knight thing. And if y'all know about the Suge Knight thing, it's more or less where it's the control of everything.
Yeah.
And it's the, I'm going to give you this without having to pay you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put a roof over your head and pay all that bill so you don't got to worry about that.
And you could just focus on your dream.
Just focus on your stuff. But when you go to the studio, it's my studio.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You still got to pay studio time. So when you get, we'll make this real quick. When you get an advance, all of that stuff comes out of that typically.
Yep.
So if you got to pay studio time, you got to pay studio time. But guess what? I own the studio. So guess what? The money's actually getting funneled back to me regardless. Yeah. But you also have to pay that original amount of advancement back. So you're actually paying me twice.
Yeah, it's called financial aid. Nigga, you go to college. I just said it, financial aid.
Right. But I'm just saying, but it's like you own everything, right?
Yeah.
You shoot me $20,000 for a loan.
Uh-huh.
But I got to pay $500 a session to record. But you own the studio. So I got to pay you that $500, you know, each time
we
record.
Top of that loan.
But right. I also still got to pay you that 20 bands back anyway that I'm paying you out of that. That's what I'm saying.
And then, again, all that music that you recorded, once you get signed, and then Def Jam or whatever label owns it. You as an individual aren't getting that cut. That person who signed you to that original contract has more rights to your masters than you do.
So nowadays, it's a little different because artists can push their stuff on YouTube, social media platforms, so they get all their money back. Some of it.
Majority. But see, that's where the whole independent game started to be more prevalent now.
Yeah.
You know, because of stuff like that. You still have people get picked up by majors and stuff, but that's why everybody is more or less so independent now and doing their own thing. And, you know, you don't have to wait to get a distribution deal now because of the internet and all that.
Check this out. Do Rick Ross really talk like he talk on Instagram?
Rick Ross sounds like Rick Ross.
Oh,
yeah, 100%.
He's 100% authentic.
Yeah, that's Rick Ross. Man.
I'm like, dog, do he talk like that all the time? I do. I'm like, God, dog. Hey, check this out. Did y'all see the Detroit sign?
I did. I drove past the other day, actually, at a networking event. So when I drove past, I actually did not have that same kind of like thought as I seen when people were posting videos. Mm-hmm. And I think when people were posting videos on their phone, they're actually filming it from the wrong angle. So it goes against the sign's intentions. The sign's intentions are when you're driving on the freeway heading into this downtown area of Detroit, you see the letters and the spaces is way different. They're way closer. Mm-hmm. But when you're actually on that hill and you're shooting it, the angle doesn't do the justice. So it looks, the dimensions don't look right. You know, it makes it look smaller, and it makes it look like, oh, like, what the fuck? Why do you spend all this money on this? But again, as you're driving past it, it actually fits.
Like they were talking about the Allen Iverson statue. It was like, they did Buddy wrong. But when in context, all the statues in Philly, I guess,
are that same size.
Size. But when they showed it, I was just like, man, that dude looked like the stick man. They're like the little green G.I. Joes you used to get from the dollar store.
Bro, you know, hey, that's social media, man. You know,
social media is undefeated.
I haven't seen it in person yet, but I can say when I saw it, it was like, man, like everybody else, like, man, really? But I will say when they showed the picture of it lit up, though, it looked 1,000 times better in, you know, working. So
100. And just to give y'all a little insight, so again, I went to this networking event. At a new venue at Riverfront, essentially. So a bunch of high profile people. One of my good friends actually works on like city policy in Detroit, and he broke down actually how they have to go about getting these approvals to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the city's deficit, like every decision is under the most meticulous microscope. Mm-hmm. And I like when we're talking, we're just chopping it up, and I'm like, do the people know this? Like, I feel like if they knew that, it'd have cut out so many. They wouldn't trip, bro. Because, again, the amount of work that went into making that, like, for the city and the intentions of it, if the people knew that and the people knew what they actually got in return for other businesses giving, like, funding for that, they'd be like, fuck it, it's all good. Hey, it works.
Man, you
all you got to do is tell them about the Pop Culture 2-3 podcast. Have them come on here.
Come on here, look it up, listen, you know.
Listen,
what I'm saying?
Tell them we talk about, we geek out about like toys that, you know, grown man toys, but we also get into like, you know, some real stuff. So it ain't all about the chitty chitty bang bang with us, but you know.
Yeah, no,
that'd be good to know because people don't know. They just see like Instagram, Detroit is throwing $1 billion into building places downtown for low income homes and all that. So they people looking like, well, where they get the money from? Where this coming from? Where they come?
Right.
But, you know, it's a process.
So he explained that project too, and again, like the and how he explained it, it made so much sense. It's like if you actually put someone into affordable housing with the intentions of keeping them there, you're doing a disservice to them as an individual.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like no matter what we do, we need to be pushed. We need to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. We do need stability so we can gain more opportunities.
Right.
Right.
But like that needs to be a place that is like set up so people can come into it and they can be established. They
transition
can have,
place.
It's a transitional place. And again, if you're looking at the purpose of why this was built, like it serves its purpose, you know, like I'm bringing somebody in here who does not have these resources, who isn't close to these opportunities, and now they're here for a set amount of time. And then, wow, look at what you gain just by being here. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different way of thinking.
It's a mindset. So,
yeah.
But like I said, tell him to come down, man. We need to talk to him. We want to talk to him. We want to kick it with him. So, look, when did you get into the gun game, the gun culture?
It
firearms.
Yes, proper terminology, big.
Got it on me.
It was deep in COVID, so... And just like everybody else, I'm seeing these videos. It was crazy, the Mount Aubrey shit.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one for me, which I don't even think gained that much like notoriety, you know what I'm saying? It was a black father in his car with his two kids. He had his son and his daughter in the back seat, and a group of like they look like meth heads, you know, honestly. Like one jumps in front of the car at a stoplight.
Mm.
And then his daughter's in the back. What are they doing, Daddy? What's going on? And then another one walks to the door and starts opening the door, and he lets them open the fucking door. You know what I'm saying? His kids are hollering. They think he stole their car. And he's like, no, this is my car. I went to the store with my kids, doing all this explaining that he ain't even got to do.
You know? Right.
Then another person comes on the other side, starts hitting the car with like a crowbar. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And his kids are just freaking out. And this whole time, my wife is pregnant. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, this ain't about to happen, bro. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'd be damned if I ever have to feel like that and my children have to feel like that.
Right.
So I bought my first firearm.
What was it?
It was a HK VP9.
He went full tilt, dog. He did his research, looked at everything. He was like, man, I'm going full John Wick transporter on this boy.
Listen, if it ain't a High Point, I promise you it's either a Glock or HK VP9.
I went away from Glock because, again.
You hear the High Point, though?
That's my man. No, it was so much
that was
like.
A long time ago, brother. That was like. I ain't gonna say how many, but that was a few guns.
Yeah, it was like growing up in my house, like not really knowing about guns, but only thing you hear is a negative stigma, and it was Glock, Glock, Glock. That's all you hear on news. Oh, they had a Glock 17, Glock 19. I don't even know what the fuck Glock is. You know what I mean? But I was like, if I am ever in a situation, I don't want to be looked at as that stereotype.
Right.
So that was my main driving force.
So
like,
you didn't go Glock because you didn't want to get put in a statistic. You thought it might have been a statistic.
100%. 100%.
That's a different one, but I like
that's
that.
That's way out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then when I got it, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm like starting to learn the functions. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, like the the fucking magazine release is.
He got on, the paddle release toys and all. Yeah.
I was like,
the magazine is on the trigger guard, right?
Yeah,
because they got the early. They make a version now with a push button, but they also still have the paddle.
The Q, release I think it's the Q thing. Series,
bro. And then some. Then my second one was a SIG M18, you know, and that one had the actual.
He went full tilt, the full
joint,
tilt.
You know? And I'm like, okay, so now I can't use this because that don't make no sense. So now I'm over here, and then I was like, you know what? I kept walking up to the store. I'm like, that Glock look good.
There you go.
That See? Glock look good. And now I'm full Glock, baby.
Full Glock, baby.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Hey, man.
We got to get that as a drop. I'm full Glock, baby.
Right. Right. That's a dope one.
Hey, that was funny. He said, when you said about the, you don't want to be a statistic. Because, well, let's ask this question. You said you grew up in kind of like an anti-gun home. I know you had mentioned that. So, like, anti-gun meaning like they didn't want to talk about it or didn't know or wasn't educated.
Didn't
because,
believe in them.
Well, you know, we all come from, he grew up in Detroit. Well, Inkster.
Yep.
So we already know, you know, growing up in Detroit, I knew Inkster. Inkster was a, they called it a little baby Beirut or something like that.
It was a rough neighborhood. I got a partner, couple homeboys from Inkster. So yeah.
Is that mine or yours?
No, it ain't mine. Well, I got cameras, but it ain't me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang, my phone doing something different.
Hey, man, we getting our extra beat. What but, you got going on over there, KJ?
I don't know. I
got
to check it. I'm worried now.
We're just blowing up right now. We're blowing up.
That's right, with the whole look.
Yeah.
Right. But talk about, you know, growing up in an anti-gun home, because it might not have been they just was against it, but maybe not educated enough to, you know, the teachers. Because we don't come from that world where they educate, especially on, you know, firearms and all that. It's more like rifle, shotguns, whatever. But just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I would say it's a mixture of, like, everything that you mentioned. My mom had me at 21. You know, my dad, he was, I think maybe he was probably 27. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But again, just growing up in Inkster in Detroit and just seeing the, what's the word I'm looking for? The visual support of an individual, especially a black individual who has guns.
Right.
And like the stigma, you know what I'm saying? Oh, it's almost like I would rather not have a gun because of if I'm pulled over, how it's going to look.
Right.
You know, versus understanding the value of actually having a gun and having proper training to know how to voice when you are pulled over that, you know, I'm not sketchy. You know what I mean? I'm a regular person. So I grew up in a household, and my mom, because of the situation that she got in, she actually was put in like this first time, like a finish program where she had crazy strict probation. And then she ended up like getting it out. But then she immediately was like, I'm moving you to Ipsy. We're getting as far away from this area as we can, because I don't want you to be in those same situations. I always went back and forth to Inkster, Detroit, seeing family, but I was never kind of like just in that hub, you know, and it's weird that that's how we grew up, but then now I still got fucking the pew-pews.
Right.
So what kind of situation was it?
So it was two. So she was in the car. Long story short, the car ended up being stolen. My mom's in the back seat. The passenger of that car, when the cop got behind it, tried to jump out. And the driver was like, no, you can't get out the car. And then he ended up putting a knife to the dude's neck in the front seat. When he jumped out the car, it cut his throat, you know. And I'm not even sure, like, my mom didn't go any further with the story. So I'm not sure if he actually, like, died, you know, or if he just had serious injuries. But because she was in that car, she caught, like, an accomplice charge, you know what I'm saying? And because it was a first-time thing, she just got put in this program. But it was so strenuous that she was like, again, I don't want you to be in this situation. And then this other time, it was because growing up in these situations, not having the support of mom and dad, because of what's going on around you. Like, she's told me before that she tried to take her own life. But when she pulled that trigger, it didn't actually go off. So, again, I don't know if she just, like, found the gun that was loose in the house. And it wasn't actually loaded, but again, like, what that reflects is something that she didn't want for her son,
right?
Essentially, so it was just like, we don't do guns, and like all my boys now, they're just like, that's just fucking crazy, DeLorean. Like, you never fuck with guns. You were never about guns. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you know I'm in it, I'm like deep.
Hey, it's crazy. Hey. What was you about to say?
Wait, he went from that to this.
Which one is that?
My last check on ammo. This is not a regular. 100, bro.
What are you about to say?
What I was going
to
say was, it's, and it was just incorporating to what you were saying. It's just something that kind of, kind of thought about. And it's crazy, like you said, because we all, you know, close enough in age that if you really think about it, like guns are, and it's really from what both of y'all said, I'll say it like that. Guns have been around us, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And especially like in the Black community.
Yeah.
But there's always been a negative stigma, you know.
It's good. The monitor just went off. It's still recording on the back.
Yeah. So it's always just been this negative stigma with guns and Black in the Black community.
Yeah.
Even if you had them legally, it still was just that stigma because, like you said, with the Glock thing, but just noticing and just from firearms, period. And it to me, it seems like I'll say it like this: I'm old enough to remember when. Even after we introduced having CPLs in Michigan, which was like the early 2000s, even then, it still wasn't as prevalently acceptable as probably, I'd say, maybe right before pandemic, even like, let's say 2015 or even or something like that, 2010 maybe.
Yeah.
Because I had partners that have, you know, been carrying for the longest. You know, sometimes I tell my story as to how I came into the whole thing. I mean, I've been around, you know, firearms and love firearms since I was a kid. I got pictures of me and my granddad in his backyard, him shooting 22s and BB guns, blah, blah, blah. So it's been in my blood. But as far as me being on the journey like we on now, carrying, teaching, so forth.
Yeah.
You know, this came, I've been doing this 6 or 7 years now, but until like probably, like I said, at the most, maybe 10 years, I don't think I've ever really noticed or seen that it was like so acceptable or accepted for us to be, you know, CPL carriers, even though we've had the program or had the ability to do since like 01, 2000 or something like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think the advancement has helped to kind of quell that stigma. It's just kind of funny to me that it's still taking so long for it to you know,
well,
kind of scale, so to speak. You know what I mean?
We so far back. Like, we so far back on the education and all 100%. That. And as far as what you want to call it, education. But growing up, you know, granddad had a shotgun, hunting, rifles, and all that. So we had firearms. Just like, you know, this has been going around on Instagram about the Black Cowboy. Like, how the name... I can't even remember the guy's name. He did a bunch of show movies. He's a director.
Well, shit, cowboy.
Right.
Just that original.
The word, like.
Right. That's where it came from, was that, because it was cowboy.
Yeah, because they called us boy.
Yeah.
And this, I guess, so the name cowboy is actually was talking about Black people. But I seen that on Instagram or Facebook, and I was just like, wow. But just like how far back, like, we was really with guns for real. You know, doing different stuff. But. When it's something that, I mean, you didn't say this, and I don't know how deep you want to get into it, about your mom trying to, you know, take her life. Was your father around in the household, or?
He's always been there, but because of both their situations, which is, like, super unfortunate that, you know, it's like the person who values you the most and who has your back and understands you the most, because of how y'all were raised, y'all just super butt heads. And it's like at the times where you're needed the most by this individual is when you all separate. So it's like, while he was always there, I always had a relationship with my dad. Because of those real, like, crazy blow-ups, like, he would essentially leave. And he wouldn't leave on his own attention. It was like, get the fuck out of my house, you know?
Right.
And it just sucks that had to be the case. So then what you have is you have a woman now trying to, like have the blunt force of like carrying this household, and it was just like because of what she knew, like it couldn't be there, and it was never part of it. Like, I never thought about fucking guns. Like, I essentially grew up in Ipsy, Ann Arbor, and I had everything that I would want. You know, I mean, like I didn't even start, like, the first time I smoked or even drank, I was like 17. I was just like, oh, I'm not doing that shit. I'm skating, bro. like
catch me on the beat, bro.
It was the furthest thing from my consciousness of owning a firearm or even thinking about, like, wanting to shoot one.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and like I said, our experience growing up as teens coming up in the neighborhood is always a negative. Somebody had a firearm that wasn't legally supposed to have it. And that was always the case. But it's like now, like, I don't know. My wife asked me this question. She said, are you numb to, like, gunfire? Like, if you hear gunfire, do you, like, freak out? Like, people hear gunfire, they duck and run.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that might be a nine. Okay, let me see where it's coming from. Oh, that sounds sweet. You know what I'm saying?
Is it echoing? Oh, man.
Because down the street is weird, because we was on Park, bro. And if somebody had an Airbnb 2 years ago, these young kids jumped out and start busting up in the air. I don't know. I think it was like AKAR. That's what the cop said. But I heard it and I was like, oh, that's close. You know what I'm saying? I didn't freak out.
Yeah.
It's just the fact I heard it and I was just like, okay, it's close. Okay. Y'all need to do this, whatever, whatever. But I knew it wasn't hitting houses. It just sounded like it was going in the air. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm saying that, like, growing up, I knew everybody in the hood might have had one. And it was like, okay, everybody legally had it. Like, we play basketball. Somebody got it tucked in their backpack.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, oh, I was like, okay, somebody got the burner. No big deal.
You know, it's funny you say that, too, because it's like.
It's like everything, it's always illegal. We always had it illegal. Yeah, everybody come here, like, remember, I used to carry guns.
It was never a legal gun.
It was always illegal.
Yeah.
But it's funny you said it to say your wife asked you that. Because it's like, dog, I think I've transitioned years ago now at this point, but I transitioned to being that way. Because I can remember a time I was probably 20 when literally, long story short, I was at my aunt's house and her neighbor was shooting off at her baby daddy about some crazy stuff, right? crazy East Side stuff, right? I ain't gonna say no names or whatever. But I'm in the living room with my uncle and I'm like, because it's that close, like in the driveway next door, I'm like, oh, somebody got this boy popping.
Yeah.
So I'm on the floor. Now my uncle, he gangster, God rest his soul. He's sitting back in the couch like, whatever. He's like, somebody just out there shooting, whatever. He's like, nephew, what you doing? But like,
shit.
So I'm trying to save myself.
The house on fire. They get up. Drop and roll.
But now, like, since I've been for real into it, and I ain't gonna say that even a little before. So, like, you know, early 2000s. When
you see
really
that? He trying to correct himself. He ain't no punk. You see that? You see how he trying to recorrect himself? Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, no. That's what you just did.
I
still had a moment, dog. I'm still human. I still go into the. Hey, look, I still go into the range with my muffs on and somebody shooting.
I jump like this. I'm like, damn.
308, and you're like, oh, shit.
Somebody with a Draco out there popping. You're like, what the heck was that, dog?
I'm used to being outside. I'm not into this.
Right.
This is not beneath me.
Right. KJ's the gun range snob.
This is beneath me.
But he's turning me into one, so I ain't even. But, you know, it's like now, like you said, you start hearing stuff. You start wondering, because I'll never forget. It's funny you brought that up. It was New Year's Eve. God, I couldn't even tell you what year. Maybe, because I had my Glock by then. So this is probably like 06. Yeah, 05. Man, I'm in the North End. Nothing but hood back then. I mean, it changed a lot now, but it's nothing but hood. It's New Year's, and of course, we off the back balcony popping. It was early enough that all of a sudden, we just heard in the distance, somebody was, like, shooting, and it was like, it was quiet as hell, low profile, and I'm sitting up here like, man, what my man's got over there? Like, I want to know where that's at, so I go see if he let me pop a few rounds on. Like, what is... So, and it's funny, like you said, when you hear the gunfire now, it don't really phase you as much, but I think the only thing that would kind of change me or phase it is like if it's too close. Now I'm starting to wonder, like, going to that mode. Yeah. So is it close enough that I'm pulling my pistol and being ready?
Yeah.
Am I trying to see what's my surroundings and what's going on? Then I go into like not action mode, but you know what I'm saying.
It was just funny because I was coming out of the kitchen and it was like boom, 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 boom. Her eyes got big, her face got worried, and I was just like, oh. Sat like, down like it wasn't nothing.
Like, we prepared, baby.
That's how my wife.
I was just like, hey, I just kept walking. I didn't see in front of the window, but if I'd have heard that window like shaking or something, I know it probably was like maybe less than a couple feet away. I'm like, ooh. But you know, because I know how far down my neighbors are.
Right.
And it's all old people, so I know further down it may get a little, you know what I'm saying, closer to the neighborhood. So it was just funny, man. Because I just, when you said that, our upbringing and understanding of firearms has always been illegal. It's always been not what we know as of today. So that's
that's the history of firearms. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just did a video about that, and like the whole reason, like, gun control essentially is because of, like, they don't want black people to have guns right after slavery. Even a tax stamp, like the tax stamp has stayed $200 since the initial
creation of it,
and it was $200 back then because it was so unattainable by people who didn't have like funds, you know. But now it's like,
so basically what you're saying is back in the day it was a hindrance, but because of inflation and cost of everything, it ain't that bad.
It's not that bad, you know, like it sucks, but
the financial $200, you said $200 in 1985
that's gonna stop thousands of
Mustang
money.
Was $3,000. Right. Let that Mustang be $3,000. Right. Everybody had one.
You'd be like $200 on top of that purchase.
Right.
You know what I mean? That, so that alone, it just stopped a whole demographic of people from being like actual owners. Yeah. And then, what were you gonna say?
And now, it's funny you said that.
My say all the time, gun control in its conception is racist.
Yeah. 100%.
And now you got companies like Surefire that'll do a promo from time to time where they'll pay for your tax stamp.
Yeah, true. That's
not Surefire.
Q got one right now. Yeah, we're giving away free trash pandas. Yeah. What is it? Fix? Mini Fix?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I think it is. I think I saw that too. Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I wish I had
this. This is what I don't understand. Right. And we talk about this. Like, why they make you go through, this is like pivot. Why do they make you go through so many hoops to take you so long to get a tax stamp for, let's say, a suppressor? Well, you can go in and get the rifle and it take 30 minutes.
Right.
You need the rifle for the you need the rifle for the suppressor. So right. Why take so long?
Right.
It should be opposite. Like, if I'm already clear to have the weapon that the thing go on, why did just give me the suppressor in a month?
It is held by a different department, essentially. Uh-huh. It's like, you know.
I know, I'm just saying that's,
it don't make sense.
The lack of logic for it is,
That's a good way to put it. The lack of logic for it. Yeah. But it's funny you said you went back to Glock.
Hey, Glock, baby.
That Glock, baby.
Man, and I'm going to give a shout-out to one of my forefather instructors, Cyril Davis, because he's a SIG guy, but he's always said, and he's right about this, no matter who you are, when you're a gun dude, you got to have at least one Glock in your collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to.
All my pistols now.
And I swear he's a SIG dude through and through, but he still got his old service pistol, his old service Glock 23.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm
that trusty boy.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I inherited a lot of 38s and revolvers from my old dude. And I got a lot of 38s. And my dad was a police officer. I don't know how long he was. I got a 380 police edition. It's a Detroit police officer on his black and with the pearl handle.
So wait, so he got that Model 10, like the one that I brought. That was my granddaddy's. We was out there shooting that one day.
What color?
You got one of them? The long 38 boy? Like the one
it's,
I was shooting?
I don't know how it's. I don't know if I ain't supposed to have it. I'm just mad I said something.
Like, oh, shit. I just incriminated myself.
don't feel bad.
Delete this. I'm glad this shit pre-recorded. We can go back and delete it. But let me ask you this. So since you came up like that, the anti, you know, not necessarily in an anti-gun home, but is that why you went down the path like becoming an instructor or teaching?
No, it was just, the stigma around firearms in general from a black perspective is like, that's white shit. Like, no black people in there, you know? So like my first class that I ever took at Ann Arbor Arms, which is my home base now.
Like that place.
It, beautiful, beautiful range, great people, like completely changed my thought process. I'm like, wait, they aren't actually looking at me like what I thought, you know? And then I take a class and people are actually engaging with me and I'm having fun. I'm learning more things. I'm actually good at this. And then I go to talk to family and then they're like, what, where you do that at? Like, were you being able to move and shoot like that? And then it goes a step further into like, oh, how are they looking at you? How are they treating you? You know? So like the stigma is so deeply embedded in the culture that I was like, I need to do something to actually allow more people to obtain their rights and get comfortable. You know,
I want you to go, I mean, talk a little bit more, but maybe this is a misconception about the 2A community. Even when I took Bear out there and when we first started, that's what I thought, because that's where we come from. We don't know. But them are some, my homies out there that we shoot acts with, and it's the homies in the 2A community, are some of the most helpful people that you can, like, rely on to ask them about anything, firearm. And they don't see no color, just brothers in the game, you know, training, having fun.
Yeah.
So now you got some bad ones.
Yeah.
But even when we was out there, like, I haven't came across that situation. You know, you always get out there in training. Maybe more in training, you get somebody to ask you a dumbass question about what's going on with any situation that happened with a black guy and a white officer. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I feel for you. No,
drop a statement, see how you react to it.
Yeah, like, drop a, just, you know, you say something, and then me and Senator look at each other like, Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's always somebody to ask a stupid question or make. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be like, you don't have to ask me a question to, you know what I'm saying, like, you down or like, that don't make me uncomfortable, right. Or you can come, like, that's not the icebreaker conversation.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I haven't, like, when we out there shooting acts or something like that, we don't get that. Yeah. But I have been in a training situation where somebody asked me a stupid question. Well, a question, they'd be like, You didn't have to ask me that question.
Sure. I mean, even on the flip, not to cut you off real quick, but like I'll be at the range and I always do crazy, not crazy drills, but like I don't just go waste rounds. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm training. Purposeful. Yeah.
I've been watching. I'm gonna do that
with
one.
My
next.
Intentions.
I'm gonna do that one. Write this one down. If I do
it. So it's like I go in there and then it'll always be like a family kind of setting. You know, an old white woman and bless her heart, she's nice, but she sees me and she's right. like.
The hell
like,
you doing?
She's like, are you ex-military? are you a police officer? And I,
bro, no, how no, many times you dog. Get that?
No, I'm like, dog. No, I'm a free black man. And then like that's the icebreaker. And then there, and then
you say that?
Yeah, 100%, 100.
Wait, I'm turning it up on that one.
Randy Watson.
So, I mean, it's like we as individuals like have. Like, we need to understand the importance that we have to our community, you know what I'm saying? And, like, just as the stereotypes that we deal with mm-hmm. and how people judge us,
right.
they also have stereotypes that they kind of think. And by her making that statement, she's like, no black man could be, like, this good using right. firearms. So he has to be this. So when you right. actually meet that energy with something that breaks the ice, now you can actually engage as two individuals. Dog. And like, and then she's like, she's hugging me, like, "Oh my god, that's so funny! Like, you're good, like,
yeah, cause dog, yeah."
One
time we was out there.
Hold on, KJ. If y'all see, me,
like,
y'all
right see now, he bringing back a whole bunch of shit. I'm like, man, you right. Don't do ask me. He like, man, y'all cool. I mean, y'all cool. like,
yo, son.
Dog, I'm holding.
He's saying y'all cool, like y'all two black guys are cool out here. Yeah. Y'all not what I thought. He didn't say not what y'all right. thought, but y'all cool, like. Mm-hmm. How about we all cool? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why we ain't all just cool? Yeah. Y'all good. Y'all, what you mean by y'all? Like, two separations?
I'm holding my face over here as much as I have because it's like, you talking about a drop, but I'm going to have to go in there and fuck it. That's another one. I'm a free black man. That's another drop for you right there. Oh
hey, Mick Fowler here dropping dime. That's why I try to get him on here.
But what I was going to say, though, was that it's funny, and I like that you said that because it's definitely true about the lack of knowledge and the perception of you shoot like that, where you shooting it? Because me getting into this, I've been wanting to do more than just the static at the range do yeah. because a lot of ranges won't let you do what you want to do,
yeah.
let alone not just be out on the range, but I mean even in the booth. Mm-hmm. So, and that's more or less the basis of how me and him met. You know, I've been following him on Instagram where we followed each other, and then I started seeing him training outdoors. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, let me holler at Money and see
where
you train. Because, like you said, a lot of times you don't see people that look like us
yep.
training outdoors up north. Now, down south, yeah, mm-hmm. it's more land, it's more prevalent, yeah. and, you know, you see a lot more black people out, but that's because that's that down there. Mm-hmm. So when you see it up here and in your own backyard, you're like, okay, dog. Where you at?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then after we finally get together and stuff. And
I'm a free black man.
I'm a free black. I'm telling you, dog, that's in my head now, dog. He done messed up, dog. I might even go to the gas station. Somebody say, man, I'm a free black man. I ain't going to lie, dog. But that's the thing. So, like, when, you know, he introduced me to where we go, and that brings across a good question that I never even thought to ask you, KJ. How did
free black man? What you talking about?
Right. How did you get put up on Blue Water? Because I mean, that's a place, and that's a thing that, like, because of where it's at and how it is, most people in our community won't think.
Yeah, so far removed from it.
Let's
yeah.
go up here to shoot, and we can, and blah blah blah. You know what I'm saying?
And then if you tell them, they're gonna be like, "Oh no, man, you gonna get? They're gonna do something to you."
Right.
Like, why are you going up there? Ain't no black people up there.
Right.
And you're like, bro, it's like that. You're living your life based on stigma.
Based on stigma and fear.
And like you can't move like that.
Well, you know, back in the day, you know, the hood was what, 8 blocks, 12 blocks. Some mm-hmm. of the homies didn't. Dog, it was the weirdest thing for me to ride my bike out the hood to go to the gas station to get not an Al B. Shorts tape. What is this? Special Ed.
Special Ed.
I got a Special Ed.
Got it made.
Cassette.
That's my guy.
He looking at you. You know special?
No.
Oh, that's crazy. That's showing our age.
He in our age group, but he ain't. He at the bottom of
okay.
it.
Yeah, so yeah.
He wouldn't know nothing about okay. no special
ed. So I rode my bike out the hood to go grab, and it was weird to go that far out mm-hmm. the hood mm-hmm. to grab it. Like, but I guess what I'm saying is most of the homies don't know, but the blocks
mm-hmm.
in Metro Detroit. They like, where, how far are you? I'm like, listen, if you want to get down with me, you're going to have to drive an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Be comfortable driving an hour,
right.
2 hours, be
right.
out there for
hour
5 or 6
hours,
hours
right.
and come back, regardless yeah, right. of what the weather is. You know what I'm saying? So I got put on by the homies, man. Jock and them.
Okay.
Some of the other homies that knew about it, that's been in the game a little bit more, told mm-hmm. me about Blue Water. Somebody else was telling me about, yeah, I go out here and do this, this, and this. And I'm like, where did that at? So he told me, I'm like, I'm there.
Yeah.
I went out there one time. I don't know. I think I went by myself. I don't know who I went with. And then, matter of fact, I didn't even go out there to shoot. I just registered and sat here. And it went to orientation. It was done deal. Yeah. And then after that, I probably got like 6-7 people that came out.
Yeah.
Just because the freedom. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
The things you can do. Accessibility to that experience, you know, opened up a whole different world. And like, really, it's like, if you go deep into the reasons behind why people are so divided, again, just my opinion, I think it's like to control, because if you actually start engaging with people who don't look like you, people who don't actually, who they've never had any experience with an individual like you, you all find how actually common you all are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if the people could put a divide, like cancel the divide, you know, and just be like, oh, well, like that's what's my homie, bro. Like they may live over there, but I fucks with them. Like that's good people. Then we take power back, you know? So
100% agree with you, first of all. But speaking of divide, we're gonna sidestep a little and divide from the smart,
oh man,
from the not so smart, so we can keep it on track too while we're fitting a little bit of time in on everything to make sure we get to what we wanted to get to here.
Okay, so listen, if you like what we're doing, please hit that like and subscribe button. We need all the love we can get. Like I said, please recognize what we're doing. And we about to get into some weird, retarded shit. Okay, listen. So how you want to do it? So listen, we're going to talk about this situation.
Give the breakdown first, and then I'm going to play a little bit of the clip.
So I'm going to try to get the best breakdown possible that I can give. So in Oakland County, this happened in October 2023. Oakland County gun charge against a man accused of threatening a customer with a gun at a Kroger store has become a Second Amendment battle with prosecutor's office. I don't see how, but Isaiah Ware pulled a gun from his holster inside a Kroger store Bloomfield Hills in Long Lake. In Telegraph. Ware's attorney says the gun was pulled in a self-defense in an effort to defend off a physical altercation. So let's play the clip. This is not necessarily the clip, but this is just, I think it's an interview he had with...
So and just to add to that too, so basically I guess the incident happened in October of last year, but I guess recently within the last week or two, or however long it's been, but this was recent, is when they've actually brought charges against him, and they, a lot of them were felonious assault amongst a few other charges, and so he originally had
some carry insurance.
Yeah, exactly. Get your
FLP. Listen, man, we over here. You running my hat, I'm running my show. Listen, get you some carry insurance.
It's
FLP.
On my hat, though, too, the FLP.
Right, FLP. So listen, they'll protect you as long as you protect yourself. But they needed a lawyer. He needed a lawyer.
He needed
to holler at FLP.
He need a real lawyer. We won't get into that. But the charges have been brought recently, and now he's also, so the news, it came out on the news, the local news, but now I guess somebody else, because it is two-way involved or related, somebody, you know, other people are starting to notice and see it. So somebody down, sounds like from Louisiana, called him up and interviewed him with his lawyer.
I think his thing was Armed and Legal. The podcast or the channel he was on was called Armed and Legal. I think he was on some Vlad shit, but that's just me.
We'll give the credit where it's due. It's called Legally Armed America. That's the YouTube channel.
Holla at me. I straight think he was on some Vlad shit. We're going to take the beef how it come.
So we're going to, the clip we're going to start playing is where basically he starts asking him, you know, what was going on and, you know, there from there. So we'll go ahead and get into it. Here we go.
Don't get a CPO from Ray Ray.
Right.
That's going to be the end comment.
Okay, so let's hit the pause button right now on the video itself. What I want clarification on, because you're a CPL holder. So did you, in the state of Michigan, do you guys take a class to become certified or get
your
permit or whatever they call it? Do you have to go through a course to do that?
Yes, it's a prerequisite before you can obtain the license.
Okay, so I assume during that, and I don't know these facts, so I'm not asking you something that I already know. I'm asking you because I don't. Do they teach you, I don't want to use the word restraint because that's more of an opinionated word, but you see what I'm saying. Do they teach you to de-escalate if you can? And do they teach you at what point, if you feel it's a threat, If the threat is ended at that point, do they teach you things like that as far as, hey, these are the reasons or the guidelines you would follow that would necessitate whether or not you were to draw your weapon?
Okay, hit pause.
I wasn't taught that.
Okay, so listen.
Wait, he already said it.
Okay, we're gonna try to pause it in between some of the things.
I was gonna wait till he said that and then pause it, but yeah.
Okay, so. Okay, you're a firearm instructor, NRAC, USCCA. Tell us where he went wrong at right there. Just on that, he's about to say no, he didn't have that training, or he didn't get that. But go ahead. And any reputable instructor would his weight.
We preach it all the time. McFly, you here, so we're going to let you start off and do it. Yeah, you're an instructor.
It's really bad, man. It's real bad. So when you're going through the curriculum, like, you understand how you're actually judged as an individual who now has the right to carry a firearm concealed.
Wait. He like Bill Duke in Minutes of Society. You know, you're fucked up.
All the way fucked up. So your judge, they do like the responsible persons test.
Yep.
You know, so again, if you now have the right that someone else does not have, who also is a civilian, you need to hold yourself to a certain standard to know how to actually function around the general public, because we all got to be responsible. You know what I'm saying? So for him to first from the jump, not even understand the protocol for the license that he was able to obtain is horrible. Horrible. And as a prosecutor, they're going to attack that.
They're going to hit that.
So you are an instructor with the credentials, the education, the ethics to teach your students the use of deadly force, how to use it, when to use it, the repercussions of it, the reasonable person, how you're going to get judged and seen by everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So hit play.
Class that I attended, but I took it upon myself to try to avoid, like I said, an altercation or avoid someone getting hurt. Make no mistake about it, it was not my intentions to harm this man, not at all. It was my intentions to protect myself and keep him from hurting me.
No, I follow you. Tell me about then the type of training that you did receive to get your certification or your permit in the state of Michigan. What did that training or that course consist of?
Listen to this.
Now, I'm pausing it here because just for context for anybody that's, you know, because it's not going to be shown from our aspect, his lawyer is actually in this video or Zoom call as well. Yes. And he's just kind of sitting around.
Just watching.
So he's basically, you know, telling this, his lawyer is just sitting there and just sitting there. So just keep in mind that his legal representation is there, you know, amongst all of this here.
Okay, give another context. In the beginning of our show, we asked some questions, and we say, do you want to talk about this or do you want to talk about that? These are the questions we will be asking you. You have any problems? Yes or no? This lawyer didn't ask. What do you call it when the lawyer talked to his just like go over. Let's have a powwow before we go.
Right, talking about this. Right.
Like, yeah, that's going to incriminate my client. So you actually can't ask that question.
Right.
None of that.
Yeah. None of that law and order shit. I didn't see.
Let's get back to it.
Basically, the instructor took me to a gun range and we just practiced shooting for maybe about 45 minutes to an hour, and that was the training that I received.
So there's in Michigan, there's not a requirement for
the lawyer just
training?
Coughed.
No.
Really? Okay. That's news. So I didn't realize that. Louisiana, which is
Vlad TV. That's all I'm going to say.
So here's the thing, though. So listening to this again, he's saying he doesn't know. So that's why he's asking these questions. Here's the thing. So either he does and he's literally trying to show how stupid my man sounds, or he literally doesn't know and my man is just making himself sound as bad as he sounds because he doesn't know. And he's just giving off the answers that he thinks they are, because he's really only thing that I could say that will be halfway saving him. And this will probably set precedence is if they basically push everything off on his instructor and saying that this is what he was told. So he was ignorant to the fact of
hit play, blah, man. Blah, don't get him no game. Don't help the lawyer out,
right,
bro.
You're right.
Don't help the lawyer out. Cause that makes sense.
gosh, I want to say you have upwards to an 8-hour course that you have to sit through, and then you go to the range and do your qualification there as far as live firing.
Isaiah, I'm sure you sat, you sat in a room with somebody who was an expert to go over the rules, right? We're not talking about experts.
Now that's the lawyer talking, just because that's the third different voice. I just want to let everybody, that's the lawyer talking.
That's the other white man,
Shooting, but you.
Oh yeah. We did it at the range. It wasn't like a classroom atmosphere. We spoke. He went over the rules and regulations while we were at the range, and then we practiced shooting.
And that was chairs, right? There were chairs in a room, like a blackboard or a whiteboard, and you had a booklet and everything, right?
No.
Okay. Sounds like you have a different type of course or something
like that.
Wait.
Oh my God.
I got to tell you, I didn't peep the visual of the attorney. I think he realized how deep he got himself.
Yeah.
But he can't just back out of it. And I think he realized there. You got to watch it again, bro. And just watch the lawyer when he says that. His whole face changes like, damn, I should have investigated this a little more.
He's like, yeah, a room. They had a blackboard. They had a whiteboard. They had chairs.
Hey, I don't want to be racist. I'm going to say whiteboard and a blackboard.
they had a bathroom.
But here's also the thing, too, where
he was leading him, though, to say, like, yeah,
I was about
yeah,
to say, he
yeah.
was trying to lead him he to be like, to yeah, him. I did this, and yeah, I did, yeah, yeah. But he wasn't catching it.
He didn't even know.
You can watch the eyes and the facial expressions of the attorney like this, fool. No, he didn't.
He was we did it at the range.
What is the next part about the flagging in there? Right? Is it right after
that? It's coming soon. I'm about to try to see if I can fast forward to get to it, too.
This course took you about 45 minutes?
It took longer than that. We practice shooting for about that length of time.
Okay.
But he instructed me on other things, as far as us speaking. So in total, we were there a couple hours.
Okay. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to figure out the course of action that took place during the training, because I know that one of the things that I know they were pretty adamant about, and I've helped other people do the courses also. I'm actually certified to do the certification for concealed carry, and they push us really hard on the, and I know your guy probably mentioned this to you, but the last resort being that you draw your weapon. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's not the first thing. That's not your go-to. You know, should be what you resort to when you feel like you've exhausted every other option. And that's one of the things I wanted to make sure that we understood.
I honestly believe that's what I did by ignoring the.
Now, if you've seen the video, it's not what he did, but whatever. So I'm gonna try to see if I can fast forward.
Okay, so let me comment on this. So
let's say episodes of him threatening to play this back while we're talking about it.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like he's on screen whenever you draw your weapon. So there's a good 10, 12 feet between y'all. You say he was coming
they
at
gonna
you.
Use
is that off screen?
Are they gonna
just
use
don't
that?
See it? Because mm-hmm. I don't think, see him.
Because it's coming from a credible instructor.
From a different angle. You may not have the proper scene.
Okay.
Because there's several different clips.
I feel like he's trying to play like stupid.
When he said you don't got the right angle. What other angle is there?
The QZ or whatever.
Yeah, Isaiah. Yeah. Not to even like judge him harshly or say that he is stupid, but it's like he made such a foolish mistake. The only way to get out of it is to play dumb.
Because
that don't make no sense.
Because
that's what I was saying before. He said, "Don't give him no free game." That's what I.
Well, but he also said they had conversations. Now we all know how much information a person can retain in eight hours or whatever. Like he could have told this dude everything and did everything, but him. He probably don't remember what, he only was able to absorb some of it. See, and now he got to go on there and talk and be educated about it. Like he should have, the lawyer should have got him prepped on it or talked to somebody prior to having this conversation.
And
so he was like, yeah, I did do this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I do remember
that. And that's what I was going to say, because after the last one, our conversations through the comments and stuff with some of the fellas too. I get that, because you're right. As an instructor, there's so much stuff that you're basically pounding on folks for the time, and it is going to be some stuff that's going to be lost in translation or just lost or not done. I don't think that's the case with this, even if it was only 2-3 hours. Because I can tell you right now, I could do a mini class, and it be a 3-4 hour or a refresher or a small part, and I guarantee you that they'll come out with more information than what he doesn't know, or lack thereof, so to speak, or whatever.
I mean, take into account, again, I took driver's education at Sears.
Right.
How many other people took driver's education at Sears? You know, like, it may have been a couple weeks long, but you get your license, and just because you forget to use your blinker to merge onto the freeway, if you crash into a car and you kill somebody, are they going to go after the instructor or go after Sears?
Right.
Like, you have a responsibility
right.
as a driver of a car. You right. know, like, so at a certain point, you really can't play dumb, bro. Like, you're the responsible person's test. And my wife, pretty much, she's like, by law, she is a paralegal, and mm-hmm. she worked under a firm in the city working with MedMal. Mm-hmm. So, but from the actual, like, defense side. So, a lot
MedMal.
Of people. Medical
malpractice. Okay. Yeah.
So, like, they're constantly being sued, bro. And then the only way to lessen that degree of how much they have to pay out is to, like, not decriminalize, but to make that individual look as irresponsible as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you left the hospital, they told you what you could eat. They told you how long you should mm-hmm. be sitting down. And you made the decision to not follow that. So
that's why you get a lot of that paperwork and the stuff. It's not just the discharge to get you out of there, but that's what that a lot of that's for.
That's security.
That's the other. See, real quick on the medical side, because my wife's in medical, so I understand that. But that's what a lot of that is. Like, that paperwork is for your benefit, but it's also to cover their own ass.
Yeah.
As part of the reason why they got to get you in and out, because they're getting you in and out because they got so many people they got to get in. So that's why they get a lot of folks out faster. But they're also, because they have to get you out faster, that's why they put all that paperwork on you.
Oh,
so
in case
something
yeah.
does happen, like you said, it's that legal liability. Well, we told him what to do.
Yeah.
He ain't do it. That's
it's in the curriculum. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, me and Bear preached this, like, the $25 the $50 CPL class, or the $50 certificate. Like, to go to get a certificate because, oh yeah, I want to get my CPL license. I want to get me and my wife a CPL license. All right. How long it take? 8 hours. How much is it? This, and this. Okay, I'll get back to you. So you already know what that means.
Right.
They about to go to somebody. Oh, my man, give it a little woo-woo. I can already shoot. Let's say 20% of that shooting. We need to give you the education to understand. Mm-hmm. Like, we can go in there and shoot whatever you think you can shoot. Okay, we know that's not true, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's the education and the understanding and the knowledge to give you about what happens before, what happens after, during, and everything in between. So when we say don't go get a $25 certificate, this is exactly what we're
exactly
talking about.
Right
this here. Is 100% exactly what we're talking about. And then on the flip side of that, I was looking something up. It's called emotional intelligence. Now I'm going to ask y'all this. It's called emotional intelligence. Just knowing what we know. The emotional intelligence is the ability to manage both your own emotions and understand the emotions of the people around you. Did you think that he actually did that?
No.
I honestly think he was, like, scared. And the fact of, like, again, going to actually train is way different than going to the range.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell he just went to the range.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably don't even do that weekly,
nope.
monthly.
Nope.
He probably got his CPL and then, okay, cool, I'm good, and ain't yeah. been there since. So
he said he's had, like, a year and a half.
Yeah, so, like, if you actually aren't training for stressful, realistic situations, like, you are not going to know how you are going to react in those situations. And the fact of, like, again, a black man in 2024 has a white man. Was the dude white?
No, he's black.
Oh, he's a black dude.
So, again, even if the dude was black, how many times have you been called the N-word?
Right.
Like, I mean, like, the amount of times that I've been called that and I've just been like, oh, whatever, this person's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I can easily walk away. So, like, what I see or what I take away from that video is, like, he wasn't in check of his actual emotions,
right,
bro.
His own emotions,
like,
right.
He was so scared, and probably because he had a gun on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like, oh, shit, like, I got this thing on me, like, now I have to, this is my only means of protection.
And then my other homeboy, Jeff, from DMI Performance, he talked about the Johnny CPL move, right? Like, even with that situation, what if it was Johnny CPL there that seen that guy with the gun and he pulled out and blasted him?
Yeah.
And not knowing the situation.
Right, right. Because
what if it had been another CPL holder in there and he made my man get on the ground with the gun?
Right.
And not understanding what that was, but made him get on the ground. But now it's an altercation
mm-hmm.
with one guy. Now it became three people. Now it may, like Johnny CPL, he may want to, you know what I'm saying? I seen the guy in the Kroger's with a gun. He's pointing it. I had to do what I had to do. So now you didn't, you know what I'm saying? Now it came down twice. Because like you said earlier, My man talking junk. Oh, you got it. You know what I'm saying? You got it today. Right. You know what I'm saying? I ain't on that time today, but you know what I'm saying? We catch up later. You know what I'm saying? If I know the amount of hell I can bring down on you right now. You don't know what I know.
So if we got the time, I would love to tell a story. All right, so
tell a story, man.
Real quick.
See, we'll stop this for your story. So this is the foolery here.
Again, the difference in an individual being in check of their emotions and understanding social awareness and what's going on around them. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I own a media marketing company. I'm doing projects for businesses, local businesses all the time. I took my daughters with me to drop off a USB flash drive to a restaurant in Inkster, a Wings a Million restaurant. So my daughters are with me. I'm just kind of bringing them into my work to see how things go. Daddy-daughter time, you know what I'm saying? I'm standing on the counter, like, plugging in flash drives. My daughters are just sitting on a bench. Some white dude walks in, looks at my daughters, and goes, "Oh, you all are pretty." And then I'm like,
attention move.
Yeah, what? Right, and again, right. I always carry. I always have fucking 37 rounds on me at all fucking times. It don't matter if I'm cutting my grass, shoveling my snow, if I'm walking with my daughters to the fucking park. Always got it on me. Always. So got it on me, bro.
I was going there already.
After that happened, I hopped down. Now I'm standing in front of my daughters because I have a barrier in between this threat and what I'm trying to protect. And then he goes, "Oh, y'all want some candy? Here's some money." And then I'm like, you're not going to give my kids no money, bro. Then the woman behind the counter who's, I won't use his name, the owner of the restaurant's she says to him, "Oh, like, we teach our kids not to take money from strangers." And then he's like, "Oh, well, you must be his wife." And she's like, "No, he's just like family, and we don't do that around here." And then he goes again, "Oh, it's all good. Here, take the money." So I snatched it from him, and then they kicked him out. And then they're like, "We'll bring your food out to you." So then we're all in there. We're talking about what's going on. Can't nobody believe what's happening. And then he comes back into the restaurant to get his food once it's done. And then he continues. He pulls his phone out, and he's like, "Can I take a picture of you girls?"
Ooh,
and again,
I'm glad Lance ain't here, dog. We had a conversation the other day when it came to fathers and their daughters. Fathers and their kids, but especially fathers and their daughters. Man, ahead, bro.
It's not going down, bro. So, now I'm in a draw position. My hands is right here. And I'm like, if you lift that fucking phone up, I'm going to shoot your ass in your fucking kneecap, bro. I ain't going to kill you. I'm going to do the Dave Chappelle. Oh, it ain't actually attempted murder. Like, I tried to put him down by the knee. So he's just standing there with his phone, and I knew, I'm like, I don't want to do it because, again, I don't live in this city. I got my kids with me.
Right.
If I were to do this, how they will react, it's on the news. Like, it's too many factors involved. So I just stood there, and then I had a strong stance, a strong barrier. He got his food. They made him leave, and then that was the end of it. But
what was going on in his brain that he thought it was okay to take pictures two little kids at any color, any
then,
whatever?
Then he asked him, "Oh, do you know your daddy's name?"
Ah, naughty fish.
So
he's doing some
he unfortunately, bro, you came out of that okay, and you're here. Nobody had it didn't have to escalate. But see, you came into one of those situations that I fear, because I've having boys, you know, people snatch up kids, period. And I ain't afraid to say it. I got pretty little boys. You know what I'm saying? I got pretty boys. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I've had people innocently give my oldest money when he was little, you know what I'm saying? But I could tell it wasn't that type of situation, you know what I'm saying? Old dude. Like, man,
like, he was straight predatory.
He cool,
bro.
And he blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, go ahead, get yourself something later on, young, you know, old school, stuff like that. But that's the worst fear for me to be in, because in Michigan, if you know them, you can look it up. There's certain places that are hot spots for stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when I go in some of these stores and I got my kids with me, I'm on, like, extra high alert. Because that's my worst fear.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, had that been me and how I am, I probably wouldn't have went straight here. Mm-hmm. But I probably, as soon as he said something and he tried to lift his phone, I know me. I turn into Tommy Buns when it comes to my kids that. You know what I'm saying? When my man tried to stick sincere in the basement,
bro.
And he was like, "Oh, yeah, let me see." And he listen, I would have bodied my man right there. So you want to take pictures? Let's take pictures then. And I'd have been smacking my man up with his camera and then taking pictures of him with his. I'd have lost it right
bad,
there. I ain't gonna
I'm
lie.
Like, I'm a very responsible person, yes. But I know when I get mad, bro, yes. Like I honestly can't control yes. myself. So well, because I know
and that's the kids too. So that's another.
I couldn't do it. And saying, then yeah. I'm thinking, I'm like, so he's close to me. He's in my space, mm-hmm. and I'm like, if I draw, do he got a blade on him? Mm-hmm. Like again, like so, I'm really processing. Probably way too Ooh, much information, but I know the responsibility of
yeah,
my actions.
Yeah, and
so again, that individual in that grocery store, somebody is making verbal threats to you. You can be very socially aware of everything that's going on with mm-hmm. you, where the exit is. I'm gonna keep my space. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking carrying, bro. Like I have the equalizer on me. You will not fucking harm me or my children. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to be in control of your actions at all times.
All times.
Because if
emotions,
you don't,
actions, all of it.
It's like a sliding scale. Like I took a little picture from the actual Michigan training when people do their CPL. Mm-hmm. There is a use of force continuum.
Yes.
So yep. pretty much this is how you are graded.
The USCCA.
And how you are judged when you have a brandishing charge.
Yep.
When you have an assault charge. Charge, mm-hmm. or you have a felony assault, a misdemeanor, attempted murder, yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Like he finds himself in the fucking snap. He's in every category.
Yep.
He's that fucking stupid. And again, I'm sorry that I have to use those words, but it's like I don't know if he has kids. Like I don't know if he has a wife. But now all those people are right. dealing with the consequences of your actions, and that right. is completely irresponsible.
It's a dark spot on 2A. It's a dark spot on caring in Michigan, especially a dark spot on black guys caring, not understanding laws, legal, the use of deadly force, all that mm-hmm. stuff. And then it goes on to now your instructors, right? Well, now instructors are not teaching them what they're supposed to. They're just going out for the money. They're trying to get this, this, and this.
Yep.
And that ain't the case.
Nope.
That ain't the case. Now, what if the dude he talking to, what if he on a different time? He pulled a gun. My man, just get at him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what if he closed the distance and know how to work hand to hand and take it from him and then do something to him?
Hey, because like you said, what if it's one of us and you want somebody that's a shooter or a decent shooter? Like I'm not a shooter yet. I'm still practicing. I'm still on my dude. But I'm dangerous.
He was too close for me. I'd probably been moving back.
Yeah, I would have been moving back.
I'm dangerous enough that literally, there's a point when you watch this video, when he turned his head, when he trying to, quote unquote, you know, put the groceries down, dog, if you a shooter, you got distance and you got a barrier in front of you, dog, the right / wrong person probably could have put him down and would have been justified in doing so.
Because he pulled that gun.
Because he had his weapon out.
Yeah.
The problem with that whole situation is so many factors, so many people in that area. And you talking about, you got to be like, you got to be on some hole in one. Because you missed that round might ricochet off mm-hmm. of one of those machines.
And hollow points.
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet or hit something. Like it's too many factors in there. Like I was trying to tell my coworker this about the situation. She's like, well, you know, I said if he would have walked away and the guy would have followed him. Well, let's say the guy would have walked away with the firearm, like, all right, you got it, my man. And then he went out to his car, and the guy followed him to the car, still talking shit, and he turned around and dropped him. He'd probably been a little bit more of a justice.
Probably so, yeah.
He
yeah.
left the situation.
Yeah, the situation.
Now the other guy's an aggressor. Why are you yep. following me to my car?
Yep.
We good, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just, you know, trying to educate her and talk to her, but I was just like,
Let's find a little more of this here.
I wanted you to go to the flagging.
We're gonna try to get to that. We're getting close. That's what I said, because we're gonna wrap in a little bit. We over with a purpose though. So yeah, let's try.
I got two more questions.
That surveillance video that you know shows it from different.
That clip that might show Williams going towards Isaiah, because what I'm looking at, I'll tell you, the video that I have is kind of above that register where you checked out Isaiah.
Yes.
That's the angle that I have, and that's the only angle that I have.
You can we can talk about like it. It don't matter. I'm gonna show
left,
a little bit on
I don't
it.
See yeah. him during when you drew your weapon.
Paul, look through my
this
videos
pause.
Again, and I'll forward you what.
Hold on, but I want to get to like you said that
unless
part.
I missed it, and I may have missed.
Well,
it
we can explain what flagging is,
but I don't recall seeing him to the
know,
left. Maybe I was paying so much attention to you, I did not see him.
It was a bad flag too.
The video that you have. And I believe that when you first,
but he's in the screen and
lawyer's like, man,
pointing
I can
his finger
send,
towards
I can send
I'm
you all
dragging
stuff.
Through your stuff now. And I will say this, I do see under the register number 10, him obviously, but I do.
Right.
Well, I can't see him in yellow. Excuse me, that says number 10 for the register. Then
I- the other law firm I thought was going to fight for me after about
man, how the hell we got ads coming in here? Damn YouTube.
I'm looking at the same video right now, and I exactly what you're talking about from under that number 10 per seconds.
That's not even the part.
So now I see how close. Okay, so
you know exactly where he was.
Can you repeat again what he was saying right there, the second threat?
So he said, nigga, I beat your ass and slam you to the ground.
All right, now,
you got
I'm
it.
Just curious. Right. This is not something that right. I had you written won. Down.
Yeah, you're going to throw me to the ground, but again, I have
and
a pistol.
Saying at this point, that, I mean...
To be completely honest with you, no one said anything. I don't even think the majority of the people even noticed.
I can tell.
If you look at the surveillance video,
so how
video,
scary could it have been?
It's cool right. and calm and right. collected. No one's frightened.
So that means he wasn't
no
yelling
panicked,
and screaming.
Because
no if you're doing that in West Bloomfield,
right
bro,
right.
at a
they
public
know.
Grocery store,
they noticing.
I'm like curious somebody's what his come reaction up. Was, since I don't see it necessarily on camera. When you drew your weapon, what did he do?
Or people
he
will
backed
be looking.
Off. He said, okay, chill out.
So my question to you at this point, in your opinion, and just your opinion, do you feel like
Vlad TV.
He would have caused you harm had you not drawn that weapon. What would have happened had you not drawn?
Absolutely. He would have attacked me.
You'd have got your ass beaten and went on with your business, took your milk and cookies home and ate it.
We gonna pause
and had your wife put an ice pack on your shit and you've been good.
So I want to put a pin in that one right there to pause to say this.
You know when people on evil, man.
His lawyer saw the video. At that point, his lawyer should have interjected and stopped him because when he said, yeah, he'd have done me harm. In the video, the dude is like 5 feet away, pointing at him with his finger and continuously backing up before he reaches. Don't say another word, dog. That's one right there that we're going to kind of put a pin in right there. I can't allow my client to answer that question on camera.
You were fearful of your life.
Because
you
everything he said, the video contradicts. So it's like,
I'm going to call the lawyers like, look, man, come to the round table. Let's educate
all
you
right.
on this shit.
Now, I'm going to make you mad here.
This is the part you're talking about that you were looking at for the flag.
My question to you is, after you walked off,
I didn't
reholster your gun?
Because I was trying to keep my eye on him and get to a secure location where I could sit the other items that I had in my hand down and then get the holster off of my hip and put it back into the holster.
So he's walking through the checkout holding the fucking gun.
Let's stop this right here, what he also says, and this goes also to the more lack of training. We all know as instructors, we can tell people and hit it home or stress it enough about holsters, holster types, reasons for, yada, yada, yada. This is the lack of training in period where he said he had to take his holster out to reholster the pistol to put it back in.
Horrible.
Listen, bro, that means he got the Uncle Mike's cheap $8 special. Yeah. That's the cloth boy that you can't, because even the cheapest of neoprene boys, you can still slide and put back in, because everybody just started off with some super cheap stuff that you can still slide in while it's still on you. You ain't have to take your holster out your pants to reholster the gun to put everything back in.
Let me say this.
That's that.
If I bring my gun out to go to a party, we partying. It's right. not going back in until the party's over.
And then,
hell, the reholster, it's a party.
But even when you do reholster, but I ain't got to take my holster off of me.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I do live demonstrations at all my classes. I bring in tier one holsters that I wear. I bring in single clip holsters. Yep. I bring in the actual fabric holster so women can try to put them in their purse.
Yep. And, belly bands, the whole.
All of it. And I run over live demonstrations of what it actually is going to look like when someone clears that space. Right. So I had a scenario where a husband and wife were there. They both got two sons. I was like, again, not to use her name. I'm like, call your husband like something is happening. You see something. And then as soon as she yelled it, I charged at him. And he's wearing sweatpants because he normally wears sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him one of my holsters. I put a little cert pistol in there. And as he goes to pull out, the fucking holster comes out with the pistol.
Right.
Which I've actually seen way more than I shouldn't see it. You know what I mean? And then he was like, oh, damn, like I maybe have to rethink of what I wear. Like, that's a good instructor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You got
to trying to get kudos to yourself. Let's clap it. Give some claps.
You got
to
get
some claps.
But that's stuff you got to teach, though, to let people know.
Hey, we got certifieds up here, baby. Of course, you keep them certified, baby.
There we go.
I would like people to know and understand that I had two items in my other hand. I'm carrying
drop the phone
lasagna and a bottle of Windex that I was trying to purchase.
Drop
the gun in my other hand. So it would have been extremely difficult for me to
drop the shit
away without sitting something down to free up my other hand. And also, I'm trying to keep my eye on him at the same time to ensure that he doesn't attack me. If you look at the video, you see I'm clearly looking back as I'm walking away. And the reason I'm doing that, like I said, is I'm trying to,
he between
watch
all
him.
This other stuff.
He could have been like every homeboy in the hood, put in his pocket, man, put the jacket over it.
He got the whole other side of the checkout. Hold on.
Proceeded to put the weapon away.
He got the whole other side of the checkout, and he got a barrier and all kind of other stuff between him, and he worried about making sure he don't
drop his lasagna in Wendy's.
I get it. You can run around, and but this is a busy little spot that he's in, so it ain't going to be easy for my man to just run up on you either.
Lateral movement,
like,
bro.
Like I'm saying, man, everything he's saying is like the video kind of contradicts in logic.
So where was he when you were still holding all the items in
flag
the gun?
Right there.
Where was he and what was he doing?
Flag
he
everybody
went to
in the front.
The service counter with his wife, and he just stood there.
Looking at you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bro, it's so bad.
I will tell you that and I consider myself a super responsible gun owner, and I'm just giving you my opinion. It doesn't mean anything because you make your choices, I make mine. It doesn't mean that mine's right or wrong or yours
prosecutor,
is right or wrong. But I'm telling you, everything that I'm taught in any kind of certification or courses that I give or take or whatever, it's always that one set that you, for one thing, if that threat is present, that's at that point is where you're acknowledging, okay, you feel like your life is threatened. And I assume that's why you drew your weapon.
Flagged right there.
If that threat is enough to where you're willing to go check out your items.
Another flag.
I think the question
he definitely
has to flagged be there,
man or whoever
how
it is
much
right
of
there.
A threat was it still at that
did
point?
It again.
And the reason why I'm saying this, there, I have a reason why I'm asking this, has nothing to do with the legality of it. It has everything to do with the safety of it. The flagging of the gun on everybody else in the store.
And then listen
to
what he
says. Do you keep one in the chamber? Do you have one
do
in the chamber
to
in your gun?
Yes. What do you mean by flagging?
Oh. By the muzzle passing like that. You have.
Oh, my
bad. That's when we end the day.
What is flagging?
You know what, man? Because we short on time and everything as well. But, you know, because we don't. This is probably going to be like an hour and 30.
No, yeah.
Hour 45.
Yeah, I got two more questions.
But that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a little extended. So we're going to put a pin in this right here.
Yeah, I said we can go on. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, listen, man.
What is flagging? But whatever. We're not
going. So hold on, man. We're going to cut into this. I'm going to take the lead on this particular part. And we're going to all three of us as instructors that teach pretty much the same, but still have our own differences. We're going to give our own little piece on this. My angle of it is this. If you don't know what flagging is, I'm coming at it from the instructor part. Your instructor failed you.
Yes.
Flat out failed you. That's something right there that you should, you know, you should definitely know what that is, understand what that is, and know at all costs what that is. And if you've ever been to a gun range, even if you've never been to a class, and you go to the range frequently, you should already know what flagging is, because if it's happened, which it always happens all the time, some kind of way at a gun range, you would see somebody else get flagged, and you would even hear somebody say something about flagging and talking about it. That's number one. Number two, also from the attorney's perspective, shame the hell on you as well, because if you're a CPL in a holder and you supposed to have, apparently sounds like, more knowledge than him, you should have stopped him right there yourself to let him understand or know, instead of the other guy, you know, knowing what flagging is and so forth. And you should have went through some of this stuff with your client before y'all took this interview. That's my part on it.
Well, first of all, you should have knew the questions. So
exactly.
When it came up, he would actually know. Oh, yeah, I know what flagging is. Horrible, bro. 4 firearm safety rules. It's like at
every point is something you're not willing to destroy or kill, hurt or make.
At the basic level, bro, like I have old women who take my classes and I'm trying to teach them finger discipline. Then they're just like, oh, my bad. I'm so sorry.
Right.
Universal safety rule, not the point.
Right.
I'm just like, yeah, it's all good. You know, like, come on. But I know she's being responsible because
she understands her
mistake.
Yes.
He has no clue.
No clue. None.
Like, that is horrible, bro. And again, that is what the prosecutor is going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that interviewer even said, oh, I consider myself a responsible,
right,
like CPL holder. I take classes that do this.
Right.
This is the mindset that I would have. They're going to be like, oh, since you have that same license, do you not do that?
And that's where I kind of, that's where I was at with it. Like, I probably would have asked different questions about your mindset, why you thought you was in danger, why this, opposed to kind of like asking questions that point out his deficiency or answering the question. Mm. That's when once he said one thing, and I was like, okay, he may not know something. I probably would have kind of turned, you know, pivoted to some more mental, the situation, how you felt about it, da-da-da, more emotional, opposed to he understanding what the training, what real training really is.
He was like, I'm about to get hits on this one.
But see, I'm about to be a million. This better than Cat Williams.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, so from the journalism aspect, you know what I'm saying, like I've been saying, doing this, you know, it's podcasting, quote unquote, but it's still journalism. Sometimes, bro, you get those interviews where it's literally like, he may have planned on doing that. But however, once you see the gold in what you got, you like, oh, I got to run with this. And as good, bad, or indifferent as it may be, it's the fact of he probably is asking him these questions, not expecting him to have those answers. Like, yeah.
Especially with your lawyer
there. That's what I'm saying. With your lawyer there, you say you took a class, no matter how short or whatever. I don't know what the dude did or didn't tell
case
you.
Is still
so
open.
I'm asking you this, like, yeah, you said something about, you know, this, that, and the third, but we not sure. But you flagged him. So, okay, we all know it happens on accident, whatever, this, that, and the third. The whole gist of it could have been like, yeah, I would, you know, because of everything here, because I was trying to shuffle and boo, I didn't mean to, but just in the moment, boo, 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 boo. He could have.
Okay, so my angle was this.
My whole point of saying that is this: he could have had a better explanation as to why he was flagging.
Yeah.
Again, sometimes that shit'll happen. Yeah. Versus what's flagging? Whoa, hold on, dog.
I'm gonna go back to the idea that if we're doing a podcast and it's kind of like predicated to 2A. I have a duty to make sure our 2A community is in the best light. Meaning, like, he should have asked my man the questions. Okay, let's go over this conversation. This is what I'm gonna ask you. Opposed to you making us look stupid. You making the 2A community look stupid.
Yeah. No. I
guess that's my Vlad point. That's my Vlad argument.
And I feel you there, but it's like sometimes, like you said. Man, I'm about to get these hits today on this.
We need a million followers.
Yeah, he had to have known.
Yeah, whether it's the bad or not. But, man, forget this. Yeah, we short on it. Like I said, we got to do the do. Go ahead and get them questions out.
So I got, okay, so we did an episode called Kicks and Sticks. I know you've seen it. Everybody in the world seen it. So if you had an extra couple dollars, McFly, what would you get? If you had an upper, cause I know we all. You know, husbands, we got kids and all that. So you had an extra couple of dollars. Would you go buy some kicks or a stick?
Stick. Like, I'm, yeah.
What stick?
Right now I'm trying to get a 6.5, but I also need that Glock 19, that 19X, the FDE one. Mm. The
you
MOS
want one of those?
You want that 19X.
Yeah. Okay. Just because of color. Like,
okay. Yeah. Uncoil has a Glock 17. Anniversary edition, serial numbered.
FDE?
No, it's black. It's serial number, so it's all black. So it's like one of 100. Mm-hmm. They stopped making it. It's a Gen 1, though.
Yeah, I heard about that. They brought back them Gen 1s on like a special.
Yeah, they got
it. Just that, yeah.
We just sitting on them. Yeah.
But you said FDE?
Yeah.
And I got a Glock 19. Is it MOS?
I carry a 45, which is essentially that same thing.
Same
you know what I'm saying? But it's just that.
Got the military spec stuff as they were setting to for the trials and shit.
I mean, it's only thing it is the color, bro. Mm-hmm. It's just like, damn.
What did you do with your VP9?
Hook him up with Great Lakes and get it Cerakoted.
Sold it. Well, yeah. Well, so he does all mine.
Yeah.
Like, I actually did a project with him where I took in my 45 and my 17. Had them stipple them. I did the photo and video. Great Lakes
Custom Work.
Yeah,
the homeboy Brad did you?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Great Lakes Custom Work. He's another affiliate of the show. I'm glad you sent it up. That reminded me. I should have put him in here. I didn't. Great Lakes Custom Work. Yeah, my man Brad.
All my pistols have been stippled by him. Like once I find someone who does a good job and
it's right. It's
right. Like he's a good dude.
It's hard for me to send my guns out to people that I don't know.
Yeah.
Like ATEI does all my work. Mm-hmm. Because I can literally go in there and talk to them, sit down, and have a conversation. But like Brad does it, it's hard for me to send my guns out to people because I just don't. That's my baby.
Yeah,
it's like my kids.
It's like I can't just trust this with anybody, bro.
Right,
right. That's crazy that you said that. Everybody say sticks, right?
Yeah, so far. Yeah. No, one person said kicks. I can't remember who, but
I think Don, my homeboy Don, said he was looking for a certain pair.
Ain't no way I'll just get some, like, fucking his shoes, bro. Right. Like, my kids just step on my shoes all day anyway, so I'm going to spend $300 on a pair of sneakers and they just going.
I think somebody's reasoning was, like, the first Yeezys, that one particular pair that's, like, the most, like, sought after boys, which I get as a shoe head, collector value and all that. I you can get it for the right price, I get it. So, yeah.
So that's about it. Like I said, if you like what we're doing, man, please hit the like and subscribe button. Like I've been, you know, one of these days, I hope McFly get out.
I'm going to try.
To come and shoot axe with us, man. It's exhilarating.
We got
to
at least get him to Blue Water with us, man, so we can put something together.
I told him.
The three of us. Maybe
but
we
see, he
live
in Ypsilanti, so he would have to come to the crib and ride in with. I mean, I would want him to come to the crib and then jump in the car with us, so he ain't got to do all that driving.
That's cool.
But where can people find you at, as far as like Instagram? Also, do you have a business Instagram? And I know you got a business page, but do you have a business?
Your social.
Yeah. So, just personal outside of firearms on Instagram is That Kid Low. So THATKIDLO.
Please send it to me.
The business page, which I'm in the process of revamping a lot of things because, like, so much changed after COVID. So, like, my whole approach to engagement has changed. So those numbers are a little bit lower, but that's Savad Media Group. So Savad is S-I-V-A-D. It's actually Davis backwards. I got that from my grandfather. He was an artist. He passed before he could put any of his art out. And it's kind of like a way to pay tribute to those who came before me by putting out my art.
And your grandfather was in the military, else.
So I've done like crazy family genealogy. I took it back to 1863, and I found that my mom's side actually comes from free, like, black people in the North. They were in Ohio. They had 4,000 acres of land. But then my dad's side actually were retreating from Georgia. They were leaving slavery because my great-great-great-great-grandmother, she was so fair-skinned, they thought that my, you know, great-great-great-great-great-grandfather married a white woman. Mm. So they chased him out of Georgia. So I'm actually a product of a group of free black people in the North and a group of, like, people leaving slavery.
Okay.
You know, so it's crazy how they mix. But within that family dynamic, I have family who served in the Civil War. I have their pension card. Mm. I have family who served in World War One, World War Two. I actually told my granny, I was like, oh, granny, like, I have, like, your dad's, like, draft card. And she's like, what? Chi-Chi was born in 43. And I was like, well, the war was technically over in, like, 42, but, like, he still could have gotten drafted and not shipped over. Right, and then she's like, well, what's the address? And I showed her the card, and I was like, this has Grammy's signature on it. And she was like, what? And I'm just like, you don't even know your own family history, man. And I think that's a deeper problem why we have so much restraint within our culture when it comes to firearms and when it comes to a strong sense of self amongst everyone else, you know, because of so much other stuff that just washed it over. But I have people who served in pretty much every war.
We got to have them come back so we can tell a little more.
I got a whole book that I'm working on right now. I got photos, original
family history,
whole original documents, everything. Like,
But the McFly is that's still gonna be popping.
Yep. So then my firearms page is McFly, and then that comes from, again, DeLorean and the movie,
Back to the Future. That's like you said it now.
I just thought, like, oh,
no.
Marty McFly.
So,
I just like, oh, he thinks he's cool. He think he want to be all fly guy.
And that's why when I said it earlier, and I even said on the low, I'm like, if you get this reference, I said, come on, McFly. So, that's from the movie. And
I didn't catch it.
Bro, it came from a training class, actually. Like, I was just there and I was busting my ass doing a bunch of shit with Gladiator guns.
Somebody called you.
Shout out for Lightweight Stunner, Gladiator 6.
Yeah, and then they were like, oh, Top Shot goes to McFly. And then I was clapping. I was like, oh, dope. Like, who was McFly? And then they were like, get the fuck up here, DeLorean. It's you, man. And I was like, oh, shit. And then it just clicked. I was like, that's such a DeLorean dope name. Like,
so you about to tell me Gladiator, Hollywood Will gave you your Instagram name.
Yeah.
Hey,
respect, bro. Respect. Hey,
that's respect. Look, he's my lightweight stunner. You know why I say that?
No.
You seen a video? He came out his house. He came out a room in his house, drunk some coffee that said Gladiator 6 coffee, took a shot of espresso, walked over to another room in his house. I ain't gonna say his house because I ain't gonna. Walked into another room and started lifting weights in his underwear. I mean, in his boxer shorts. If that ain't like way stunting, what is it?
He's definitely done well for himself.
Listen, I'm gonna send you the clip and I'm gonna post it. That's my lightweight stunner of the month, right? He walk out, walk over in his gear, grab some coffee, throw it on the table. It said Gladiator, this is coffee, whatever, whatever. He roast it, walk over, take a shot of it, get in his room, in his house, mm-hmm. with a full weight room on the bench, and do 225. He just got up. I got to stretch at least 45 minutes.
At least.
That's lightweight stunt. And he got bourbon. Mm. And he got cigars. Mm.
Yeah.
He lightweight stunting.
My guy. I like that.
He it's lightweight stunting.
Train Gladiator 6.
Hey, Hollywood Will, man. I gave him Hollywood. I trained with him up at Ann Arbor Arms. He had a low light class. So yeah. Hopefully I'm get. I want to.
Yeah, I got some stuff in the works where I'm trying to plan. And
he'll hit me like, you going to the urban gunfight? I'm like, I shouldn't have liked that video. He going to
yes, right. Hell yeah.
I want to, but it's
we'll see what we can do.
It's out there. It's a little bit. Like I said, hopefully when my son get out, he in college, all that, I have some more time. But that's where we can find you at. Like I said, thanks for your time, bro. Thanks for coming out. Everything. You got some dope stuff doing. Like I said, you look at his page. I was like, man, this dude is fly, McFly. I was like, man, I need to get him out. He need to follow me when I'm doing what I'm doing so I can look like this. So hopefully, you know, so we can get together, kick it, you know, do some stuff. I know you got some secret G14 classified stuff that you're doing that you ain't want to talk about, but you told me. Yeah. You know, I was going to ask you, but you don't want to talk about it. But it's whatever. Good.
I got things in motion, baby. I move it like a real old school head, you know. I don't talk about it until it's actually in action.
I hear you. So listen, that's it from us. Game recognize game. We recognize you, so please recognize us. And we out.
Peace.